This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's March 31st, 2010. It's approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's my understanding that this is the hour, spiritually, and understanding what the scriptures have taught at the time that Jesus Christ was crucified at the hands of a political power called Rome, enacting the will of the people in Israel, God's own people at that time, had conspired with their religious leaders, all the chief priests and the rulers, had falsely maligned and accused Jesus Christ, the righteous, the only begotten Son, of false crimes. And it was interesting today as I was reading the story of how Jesus was treated that day, to about 2,000 years ago, how Pilate perceived that they had envy. They're motivated by envy, and this is why they had delivered him. That's in Matthew 27, verse 18. But I'm calling today that we keep our perspective focused on nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, the sacrifice that despised the shame of the cross, but he endured it. That he would take upon himself the sin of the world. Though he knew no sin, he became sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in him through faith. That we could be delivered. Because Jesus Christ is the Passover. And in ancient times, God showed the children of Israel that he would deliver them with a mighty hand. And he called them on one particular day. The time had come where they were to take the blood of the lamb without blemish, kill it, and take the blood and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. As they had been slaves in Egypt to the tyranny of oppression, land of idols, and God was going to set them free. And God went through the land with great judgments. But God, as he sent the angel through the land, but as he beheld the blood, he would pass over. Thus we have the Passover. It's faith in the blood of the Lamb, which is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. He is a Lamb, has laid down his life without sin, without blemish. He is the unleavened bread. That means he has no leaven, no sin. And we need to get down to the bottom line issue, what God is speaking to us today. What is he's speaking about his Son? Because Christ is the very cornerstone of our faith. And God had appointed Jesus Christ to be the cornerstone, the rock of offense. And his own people stumbled at this, having faith in him. Matthew 27 speaks of this time. The whole chapter, how Jesus was betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver, the corruption of the religious leaders and the hypocrisy that they would buy the price of blood with this man with 30 pieces of silver, but that they wouldn't take back the 30 pieces of silver when Judas came to his senses and realized the horrible thing that he had done in betraying innocent blood. And how the full scriptures were fulfilled. In Psalms 22, it's a prophecy regarding this day, and I want to read it to you. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people, and they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It melts in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they took and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you have heard me from the horns of your unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all you the seed of Jacob. Glorify him, and fear him, all you the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. This scripture is amazing. The prophecies, right down to the fact that they parted Jesus' garments and were gambling over his clothing, and how they had pierced his hands and feet. Jesus was isolated and alone, and none stood with him. And yet on either side were men that were guilty, they were transgressors. And to hang on a tree like that, it was written in the law. It was a curse to hang on a tree. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies, ladies and gentlemen. Every word, every jot, every tittle was fulfilled. And his last words, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit to the Father. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. The people did not perceive what they had done. They cried that day, desiring to have him delivered up. And Pilate was willing to release one unto them that day. And there was one called Barabbas, which is interestingly, the name translated would be Son of the Father. And here's Jesus, the only begotten Son. But the people wanted another named Barabbas, who was a murderer. Isn't it a paradox? Paul himself told us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8, now listen, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. So Paul's telling us to get rid of the old leaven, the old sin, the old ways, that you may be a whole new lump, because you're unleavened. We're called to be unleavened in Jesus Christ. So this is the time, yes, the Passover. This is the time when Jesus was crucified, right at the very moment when they were the religious system that had betrayed him. They were actually killing the lambs for the Passover on the preparation day. And Jesus suffered outside the camp, and they didn't perceive it. But Christ is our Passover, and he sacrificed for us. It's Jesus Christ that died for our sins. And Jesus Christ was buried, and after 3 days, he rose again, according to the scriptures. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's not lose sight of what this time is speaking of, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of this message today isn't even to discuss the way of the institutional world that drew in the customs of the pagan world and Christianized pagan holidays. But as we walk in Jesus Christ, we are separate and called to be unleavened in Christ. Not with the old leaven, but we are to become a new lump and be unleavened in Jesus Christ. And he has been sacrificed for us. As the ancient people of Israel, and they were being delivered from bondage in that night, that great night that foreshadowed the coming of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, they applied the blood on their lintel and on their doorposts. They had faith in that blood. And the life is in the blood. And this is why God had ordained that they do this. And it's speaking of Jesus. Jesus died on that cross, spilling his blood for you and me. Have faith in him. Have faith in him, his sacrifice. In sincerity and truth. Ancient Israel kept the feasts of God. Even though their hearts had wandered far from the Lord and they had become so corrupted. This is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 1. How God said that the children had forgotten me. They don't even know me. They don't know the law. The people were perverted, so sick from the head down to the toe. No soundness, just wounds and putrefying sores, not mold, not healed, not washed or cleansed. God was calling them to come back, but God had said he had kept a remnant. And they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah unless God had kept a remnant for himself. This is verse 10 and following. Listen, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who is required to set your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It's iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the heart of God in this text. Religious Israel, religious Judah, but had wandered from the Lord, but they were still going to keep those feasts, still going to do those sacrifices, and God was so sick of it, so offended. It's like a spouse that wanders with another lover, but yet's going to bring a gift to their spouse. Would it really mean anything when their heart is departed, when gross unfaithfulness has taken place? No. And how can God tolerate unfaithfulness with his people? It's not enough to keep celebrations, ladies and gentlemen. What God is calling you to is to glory in the cross, to glory in his Son. And he's told you to wash, be clean, and put away the evil. And this is the time to put away the leaven. This is what the meaning of this time is. Unless you receive the kingdom as a child, you shall not receive the kingdom. Mark 10, verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. We need to be like children. And we are not to corrupt the simplicity of the gospel. We're not to be led astray in complicating the simple works of God.